Hear the word of God, as it is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of God.
Now we're going to come and learn together from the precious word of God. So will you pray with me? We're going to be focusing on another tremendously relevant passage. So we want to ask Jesus to help us by his Spirit. Lord, that's our prayer, that you would fill this land with your word. And won't you use us? And we pray for that passion that we've sung about, that you'll set our hearts on fire to continually long to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We pray now that you will bless our time together. Please, Lord, help us to understand what the word of God is saying. And more than that, please stir our hearts even this morning, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Now, my friends, I always encourage you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the passage that Don read to us. We are busy with 1 Corinthians, and I hope you're slowly getting to love 1 Corinthians. Each Sunday for the next couple of months, I'm going to take you through it. We're going to cover lots and lots of many different areas and concerns. But at the moment, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the whole question of the difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom, especially as we seek to heal divisions and as we seek to bring people to God. And what I want to share with you this morning, I've entitled our sermon for you today, that God uses nobodies. So I hope that you're going to walk out of our service this morning greatly encouraged. It's an incredible passage that we're going to have a look at. But I was reminded when getting this ready for you of the great Campbell Morgan. I'm sure a lot of you here today have read some of his books. He's really arguably, if we can use that phrase nicely, he's one of the greats. He had a church there in Westminster Chapel in London, and during the war years, he did the most amazing work. People would flock to Westminster Chapel on a Friday night to his Bible studies, and he built up the work. But what a lot of people don't know is that Campbell Morgan applied to his church to be ordained, to be made a minister of the gospel. And they turned him down. They said he hadn't the gifts, didn't have the personality. He didn't have what they were looking for. So he sadly and with much discouragement left that situation, and he had to look for another door. And then, of course, God used him. God used him amazingly. You see, originally the selection conference were looking at certain characteristics, and they said Campbell Morgan will never make it. But God looks for other characteristics, and he was brought into another church and did this amazing work, and we still read his books today. You see, God uses nobodies like you and like me. Now, friends, this morning I'm going to draw this out for you a little bit, and if you'll follow with me. The first thing that Paul wants us to know, see, and he wants you never to forget it, is the difference that there is between human wisdom on the one side and divine wisdom on the other side. There is a massive, massive difference. All right? Let me show you this together this morning. He tells me three things about it. You've got verse 18 there in front of you. The first thing he wants you to remember is that human wisdom is foolish. It's incredible to say that. It sounds strange, doesn't it? Human wisdom is foolish. Listen to what he says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That's incredible. You see where he begins? By clarifying for us that if you look to the wisdom of the world, what do they say to you and to me? They say, for example, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, they come to us and they will say, to preach that Jesus died on a cross for the sins of the world, that's foolishness. To believe that Jesus is the only way to a living relationship with God, that's foolishness. Of course you can go through all the other religions. It doesn't matter. All roads lead to God. But for you to say it's the preaching of the cross, that's foolishness. Now the people who say that to you and to me are those that are in the process of perishing. That's a strong word. Remember, we focused on that last Sunday morning. They are perishing. They're without God. They've never been born again, never been converted. So their view is, You're crazy. We must do something. There is something that we've got to be involved in. There's something that we have got to achieve. There's something that man has got to do if we are to come to God. But to only focus on the cross? It's foolishness. So what Paul does in verse 19 is he gives the most amazing illustration there. See verse 19, "For it is written." And he now quotes, for your interest, from Isaiah and from chapter 29 and from verse 14, which says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Let me tell you what happened there. The little country of Judah, the capital of which was Jerusalem, was under enormous pressure. You may have read about it. The great international superpower called the Assyrians were about to attack them. So here's little Judah with very little resources, very little numbers, very little of the things of the world, and along comes the superpower Assyria. So what happened? The brilliant counselors with their human wisdom came to the king of Judah and said, "We've got no hope. Assyria's too big, too powerful. We are nothing. You must ask Egypt to help us." So the human wisdom said, "King, run to Egypt. Egypt will come to our rescue, and with their help, we'll clobber the Assyrians." The prophet Isaiah came to the king and said, "King, don't listen to human wisdom. Trust God. Put your faith in God. Don't run to Egypt. Trust God." Human wisdom said, "Get Egypt to help you." Divine wisdom said, "Only trust in God." Well, of course, the king and the counselors and the wise people said, "You can't listen to Isaiah. He's just a prophet. Let's listen to our counselors. Let's ask Egypt to help us." And that's exactly what they did. They rejected Isaiah. They trusted in their human wisdom. And God had the final say. God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring the intelligence of the intelligent to frustration." Egypt never pitched. They never came to the rescue of Judah. And Isaiah said, "Trust God." And one night, God performed one of the most amazing miracles in the Old Testament. He came and he overran the Assyrian army so that 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers died and Judah gained the victory without doing a thing. It was the most amazing victory by God. Human wisdom said one thing. God's wisdom says another. My brothers and sisters, human wisdom is foolish. Now you and I are called upon to make big calls sometimes. Where are you going to look for advice? Who are you going to go to? Are you going to go to human people with their human ideas and their humanistic principles for advice? Which counselors are you going to seek to help you when you're in trouble? Are you going to look for human wisdom? Or are you going to say, I've got to seek God's wisdom? You must remember that human wisdom is foolish. Number two. The second thing that he tells us is that human wisdom cannot save. From verses 21 to 23. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And forgive me just for a minute, see, but I want to show you something amazing. That the world over the centuries has come up with all sorts of philosophies, all sorts of wisdom to try and answer this question. How can we get back to God? How can we know God? How can we know the forgiveness of sin? How can we know the home in heaven? How can we know a living, vital, vibrant relationship with a living God day by day? Let me show you what they did. If you go back in the centuries to the Middle Ages and the medieval times, just after the period of the early church, say from 500 to 1500, do you know what you will find? During those years, you had some of the leaders like Thomas Aquinas. And what they were doing to the world was they said this, you can find God through religion. So what they did was they built these unbelievable cathedrals. These massive, massive Gothic cathedrals with all the most amazing architecture in the world. And when you went into a service, it was very highly structured. Lots of ceremonies, but no Bible. For 1,000 years, the church died. From 500 to 1500, the church around the world was dead. Lots of religion, but no vital Christianity. So what happened? The rationalists came on, and men like Descartes and Spinoza, and they came and said, now listen, it's failed. You can't believe the Bible. The Bible's got mistakes. The Bible's got contradictions. The Bible, you can't trust it. You can't surely believe that God created the world in 6 days or 24 hours. Genesis 1, can't believe that. Can't believe that Daniel was in the lion's den and rescued. It's crazy. So the rationalists came with their way of thinking. Don't go to religion, but let's use our minds. And they came with a lot of incredibly liberal theology, taking us away from the Bible and said, we'll bring you to God. It failed. The whole missionary movement collapsed through these people because suddenly the doctrine of hell was pushed out. It failed. So that gave rise to another movement. You see, I just want to show you how incredibly relevant this is. What they called the empiricist movement. Men like Locke and Hume. And they came and said, no, you got it wrong. It's not religion, it's not rationalism, it's experience. If it feels good, do it. And Debbie Boone. You remember Pat Boone's daughter? Now, I won't sing it for you. You're lucky, I won't sing it for you. But she sang a song that went to the number one on the hit parade. Do you remember that song? What was it? What? You don't remember that song? Let me tell you what its title was. Its title was this. How can something be wrong when it feels so good? And that's where the whole of 2010 is right there. Sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, drugs, the whole lot, alcoholism. Where, it's all this. It's all, how do you feel? How do you feel? There are no more absolutes. So you can have 20 children. You can have 5 wives. It doesn't really matter, really. Because absolutes have gone. There's no more absolutes. That's what the empiricists said. You see what I'm showing you? And then that gave rise to Darwin. Darwin comes up. He did an enormous damage. And he says, you know what? We weren't even created by God. We've just evolved over millions and millions and millions of years to where we are today. And Darwin did us a great deal of harm. He took us away from seeing people made in the image of God to philosophy. And you know what all of these movements have done, my friends? They've made us a society that's absolutely bankrupt. Our world is sick. It's morally, spiritually bankrupt. And Paul is right. The wisdom of the world has not brought people to God. Because human wisdom cannot save. So what does Paul say? Just for me. Listen. We preach Christ crucified. That's tremendous, he says. The Jews look for signs. The Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Just think of that for a minute. People want signs. They want miracles. They want to go to meetings where there are healings, where the legs are strengthened, where people are healed of cancer. That's the big thing. You've got to have healings. You've got to have miracles. You've got to have signs. It was like this in Paul's day. And Paul says, I'm not going that route. Other people say, no, we don't want signs. We want wisdom. And Paul says, I am going to give you the cross. I'm going to preach the cross. I'm going to tell you about Jesus on the cross. It's through the foolishness of preaching that people are converted. Isn't that incredibly relevant for us today? So number three, only divine wisdom can save people. And let me tell you, it's wonderful to be saved in the days in which we are living. Because you know what's happening? In small ways, do you know what's happening today? All over the world, God is working. Today, all over the world, there are going to be thousands, that's not exaggerating, thousands of people that are going to be converted today. Not by signs, and not by miracles, but by the preaching of the cross. They're going to come and put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be born again, and slowly God's family is growing. Slowly God's family is growing. Slowly this marvelous missionary movement is growing. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's going to never stop. Because human wisdom has failed our world. Human wisdom hasn't saved anybody and brought hope. It's only brought despair. But God's wisdom has saved. So he says this. But. See verse 24 and 25? To those whom God has called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world. What does that say to us here at Christchurch? Please pray hard for us that this church will be a beacon of light in the times in which we live. That people searching for God, for forgiveness, for hope, for joy, for peace, will be able to come here. And through the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of the cross, they will find God. They'll be born again. They'll be transformed into children of God. That's what we must pray for. So human wisdom is foolish, friends. Human wisdom cannot save us. But divine wisdom can. Just secondly, there are just 2 points, is this. Who does God call? Who does God use to be part of this movement that's not spectacular? That in the eyes of the world it's foolish. But they come and they go on day by day and they witness to their friends. They talk to their neighbors. They invite people to their homes in order to share the gospel so that they will be saved. Who does God use? Who does God call? Who belongs to the family of God? Just the second point and then we finish. It's a great passage this morning, eh? Number one. The first thing that you notice is this. That when God calls a man or a woman, it's not based on their position. Listen to what he says there in verse 26. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. So Paul says, let's look at the church. Who has come to Christ? And you know what you notice, friends? Is that not many wise people are in. If I may say that with humility, if you had to stop for a minute and say to yourself, how many of the professors around the world and the deans of the universities and the chancellors of the universities, the intellectual giants of our day, how many of them are Christians? Answer? Just hear a bit of grumbling. But it's relatively few. Isn't that right? Then he says, how many of the influential? How many of the top CEOs of the big companies have got a passion for loving Jesus Christ? They're getting these multi-million rand salaries. They're in control of the big companies in the world. But how many of them read the Bible every day and love Jesus? Answer? Very few, if any. Because not many wise, not many influential, and then Paul says, how many of you were of noble birth? Those are the Lonnies. They've been to the posh schools. They've been to the top universities. They're the aristocracy. They're the upper bracket. They live in fancy homes. They drive fantastic motor cars. How many of them are in church on a regular basis serving Jesus Christ? See what Paul says, it's amazing. God doesn't work like that. Because when God calls men and women, He calls men and women not based on man's position. So we want to put people in position. How does the world choose? The world chooses and says, are you a success at business? What qualifications have you got? God doesn't work like that. Because when God calls, it's not based on man's position. Number two, it shows divine interest. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So God shows interest in the ordinary people. And you know, my brothers and my sisters, it's just an interesting fact today that the greatest church growth taking place around the world is in Africa and in South America. That's where it's growing. It's growing among the poor. That's where the biggest church growth is taking place. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the way God works and the way the world works are poles apart. Number three. It's contrary to the expectations of people. See verse 27? God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things of the world, to nullify the things that are. Sure, Charles Hodge put it like this. He wanted to convince the world of the little value of the things on which the world prides itself. And by exalting over them the things that they despise. It's amazing, isn't it? See how God works? It's different. And then number four, this removes all human boasting. Verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. And then lastly, number five, it means that all the glory goes to God. So when you were converted, my dear brother or sister, when you came to know Jesus Christ, you came to know Christ because not you decided. It's not based on our decision. It's based on a loving, merciful, compassionate God who reaches down into our hearts. And who has he chosen? Not many of the wise. Not many of the influential. Not many of the top. No. He's chosen those who are despised. So that you and I may go into the world with an incredible love for Jesus. And what do we want to do? Just slowly, one by one, every day of our lives, share our faith with the lost. Build up the kingdom of God until the day when Jesus returns. I got such a nice phone call yesterday from a lovely man who lives out in the rural areas beyond Richmond. And they've been trying to put up a church for years. And I managed to raise some money for them. And he phoned me last night. He said, "Bishop, I want to tell you, the roof is up." And he's so happy. And I thought, that's what life's all about. I'm going right now to Fredville. We put up a new building there. We're going to be inducting a man there. That's what life's all about. Because now our answer to our land is not wisdom or what people think or looking for the big shots. No. We're telling them about Jesus. You know, friends, we love South Africa and we love Africa. And for my sins, they've asked me to be the bishop to Africa because they know I love Africa. But I want to tell you that our land is in great need. We're in a shambles. And you know why? Because we've run to human wisdom. And you've got the answer and so have I. Where's the answer? It's the cross. Oh, may God help us here. May God help us to show incredible passion for the gospel. Because when we bring people to Christ, we change the family. Those who steal, steal no more. Those who committed adultery, don't commit adultery anymore. Those who covet, stop coveting. Those who were sinners become saints. Those who blaspheme the name of Jesus become preachers. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. So there's human wisdom. It's failed. And there's God's wisdom. And we want to follow.